Welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to episode number 76 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed, and Sean here. How are you doing, Sean?
I'm doing very well. I'm just looking at the screen on this computer because I've never looked at it before whilst we were recording.
Oh, all the little sound waves.
It's quite fascinating.
Isn't it cool, eh?
Hey.
Last week there were a lot of kind of peaks on that sound wave because I was coughing the whole time.
Yeah, actually, consumption.
I got told off by Ree as well, and actually my mum picked up on it too for yawning. There was a yawn from me.
How can you yawn on camera? No, on microphone even.
Someone must have heard the intake of... Yeah, so was it... Because I'm a dad of a young baby at the moment, or was he just boring me to tears?
I thought you were gasping with amazement.
It was a gasp, I should have said that.
Yeah.
This week will be amazing because we're talking about goal setting and aiming high, or not, whether or not it's a good thing to aim too high. Before we get onto that, we'll just have a little chit-chat. Actually, we've had an email from a listener, which I might need to reply to if I haven't replied to you yet, that one. Apologies. But he was saying how much he loves the show, which is cool. But he was saying he started to really appreciate this little bit at the start, where we just shoot the breeze and we just say what we've been up to.
That's interesting.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So maybe we should do a show about nothing one day. An homage to Seinfeld, the show about nothing. We could do a podcast about nothing. What do you reckon?
Sounds good to me.
But even nothing is something, right?
Yeah. Does nothing exist?
Yeah.
Getting into philosophical debate here.
Flipping heck. Yeah. Show about nothing. It's coming up. We've had a review, not an iTunes review, because this person, Sonia, had a bit of trouble with iTunes. And it's not actually that easy to do a review on iTunes. It's not as straightforward as you'd like sometimes. You've got to navigate your way through. But she sent us this review, so I'm going to read it out. I love this podcast. It's like sitting down for a coffee with my two favourite people discussing life. You can hear how lovely and warm Ed and Sean are. She spelled Sean the wrong way.
I don't mind.
Yeah, well, I'm only joking. And how much they're enjoying themselves. It's true. We do have a laugh, don't we?
We do.
They also manage to communicate genuine interest and compassion towards their listeners, which no one's ever said that to me before.
No, they were talking about me. They were talking about...
Compassionate, Ed? Surely not. Get on with it. No, we can. I look forward to every week and it opens up my mind and sparks interest in all sorts of new topics. Thanks, Sonia. It's cool, isn't it?
It's good. That is really good.
Yeah, we also had another cool email from Dr. Jeff Stoker. I think that's how he pronounced his surname. Who, after last week's show, he emailed about... last week it was about saying no, or how you shouldn't say
yeah,
no.
Yeah, yeah.
But he had an alternative viewpoint on it.
Yeah.
Which he's actually already... He's got a website and he's blogged about it, so it's quite a good little read, actually. So I will include...
Put a link up for
him. In the show notes, there's a link to his website, which is juvenate-ltd.com. Go to us, liveinthepresent.co.uk, and get the link, and you can have a read of that, and let Dr. Jeff know what you think. But thanks for sending that through.
Yeah.
What have you been up to this week, Sean?
I've had a really hectic week.
He says as he rubs his face, absolutely done it.
Culminated at the weekend, where our friend Jody had some kidney stone problems and was whisked off to hospital, so we went with her, and I ended up being honorary granddad to four kids, which was actually, it was a good fun day. We had a really good laugh, and the kids are fabulous, four kids. So we did everything from homework to making wings and crowns and watching Maleficent and things like that. It was good. It was a good day.
How old were these kids?
From 5 to 10, four of them. So it was good.
Did you collapse at the end of the day with a pile of...
I certainly enjoyed my bed at the end of it.
Was that Saturday night or Sunday night? So were you straight into work the next day?
It was Saturday night. It all happened, so it was all day Sunday, and then I was off to the work, and Annie said the madhouse. So I was off to work on the Monday morning.
You do look unusually tired, I must say, Sean.
I do. I need a holiday. Where are you going to take me?
I'm taking you nowhere. Yeah, I've had a good week too. My life's full of nappies at the moment and stuff. But yeah, we had a good little firework night, that little celebration of terrorism that happened all those years ago.
Yeah.
Nearly burnt down the shed, not quite. Catherine Wheel didn't quite go to plan, and it just kind of stayed stuck in one place. And
all right,
blowing flames onto the where I'd nailed it in. Aside from that, it's good fun.
We've actually, because it's just started to get colder, we've had some log fires, and that's been fun. It's been nice.
We haven't fired ours up yet.
It's that pyromaniac part of me that just likes the flames, and you can sit there and watch them.
It's that time of year when I don't mind getting paid with wood. timber.
Yeah.
We haven't got much in our wood store at the moment for our little log burner.
You've got a wood out the back here, though.
I know, hacked down one of the trees there.
Yeah.
Maybe. We should carry on and get this done before you fall asleep, Sean.
No, sorry.
Because, this is a listener request, actually. Someone had emailed in saying, could talk about goals and more precisely, whether it's a good idea to set lofty goals or not, or whether you're setting yourself up for a fall. So I thought that was a good idea, and so here we are discussing it. Are you a goal setter, Sean?
Yeah, I am, but not in an elaborate kind of going to climb Mount Everest kind of way. Mm-hmm. But I do see life in terms of when I wake up in the morning, I have got this gift of these 24 hours. What am I going to do with it? And the decision to do nothing and to have a pajama day or something like that is as much doing something for me as setting myself tasks to do.
Nothing is something. Yeah.
Yeah. So that idea, it's almost as though my goal setting is about being in the now, having that awareness of being in the now.
Yep.
For me, life is a list of things that will never come to an end, I guess.
Yeah.
So there are always things to do, but sometimes I want to be a being and not a doing.
Sure.
Yeah.
What are you right now?
I'm just kind of chilling and being with you as people.
Yeah. No, I've set some lofty-ish goals in the past. Not Everest, but as regular listeners will know, I've had a couple of cracks at Mont Blanc, which ended in, quite interestingly, you could say failure, which we've discussed failure in the past.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't look at it like that, because I had fun and learned stuff and we got...
It was a learning point.
Yeah.
And maybe that's the issue we were talking about earlier, you and I, about the issue about the goal of the journey. Isn't because you said to me, "What's your goal in life?" And I said to arrive at my deathbed with a smile on my face.
Yeah.
And if I can do that, then I'm okay. And the way I see it is that may be the end point, but that's a long way away, I assume.
Yeah.
It is. It's the bit in between that I want to enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
So okay, there's goals, but I want to enjoy the achievement of the things that I'm aiming at.
Yeah. The whole happiness is a journey, not a destination thing applies to this, doesn't it? Because, sure, man, you set a big goal and you hit it. It might not even be a big goal, any goal. You might have slaved away for years at it and you get there and it's like, what now, innit?
Yeah, but I see that with people that set goals on love objects. Someone sees something on the high street or on the internet, something that they want. It could be a car or a handbag or a pair of shoes or whatever. And the drive is to get it.
Yep.
And drive. But once you've got it, the drive's gone.
Mm.
So, and because the power in the experience isn't the object, it's the drive. The drive now gets switched on to something else.
Yeah, it's an interesting time of year for this, and I'm going to get myself in trouble by talking about it. But what the hey? What the hey? Because people are starting to ask about Christmas presents for our kiddies, or from Will especially, because he's at that age where he's Lego and all that stuff getting into it. And obviously super generous, and it's amazing how generous people are going to be, but does he need all this stuff, man? And is it going to really alter his life for the positive all that much, having all these things, when I know that what really makes him happy, anything, you just take him in the back garden and just let him poke around with a stick, and he's in heaven, So
it always makes me laugh when you get kids, you give them presents, and they take stuff out of the boxes, and then go and play with the boxes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So maybe this is another episode somewhere down the line about kind of these objects in our lives we think we need but don't really, or maybe we do, I don't know.
I know, we were talking a while back about stuff, and we have houses that are full of stuff,
mm-hmm.
and attics full of stuff, and stuff. We have to get cupboards and wardrobes to put all our stuff in. And I end up saying to people, I really don't need any more stuff. I love the fact that people want to give me things because that's an expression of love. But I end up saying to people, if I can't eat it or drink it, I don't really want it because I've got nowhere to put it.
Yeah.
And I've got that much stuff. To have more stuff means I could get rid of stuff to put that stuff in.
Yeah. I think part of me is selfishly, like, because I know that in a couple of months we're just going to get boxes and boxes of stuff, and I know I'll have nowhere to put them, and that's going to annoy me personally, so that's selfish, so I apologise.
You're just so selfish.
I know. But you know what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
Because half the stuff might get used once or twice, and then it's like in a charity shop 10 years down the line.
Yeah.
I don't know. We're a bit off topic here, but...
But it's not, in a way, because the issue in terms of goals is... What you're beginning to talk about is the idea of your need to kind of set some goals about what happens for William. Mm-hmm. That is a goal in itself, isn't it? You know, is it right to have him just inundated with stuff? Mm-hmm. Or are there other bits of him that would develop if he didn't have so much stuff?
Yeah.
You know, I'm not suggesting you lock him up in a box and keep him in poverty.
Well, hell yeah.
Make it very creative.
I read something a while ago about, I think it's something like, it's called immigrant syndrome or something, about how the first wave of immigrants came to when they landed in America, worked their backsides off, you know, and had nothing. Or not even the first, it was the first generation when they arrived in a country like that, and they worked their backsides off and achieved this level of relative richness and wealth for their children, and all of a sudden their children, when they start to grow up, are at a different level and don't appreciate life as much as the parents that have had to work their backsides off, you know, because they've been given everything.
Yep.
So... Are we talking about goals?
I think we are. Because each generation sees the coming generation as being kind of pig ignorant and less motivated and, you know, more stupid than they are.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's a kind of a standard, I guess, as the world changes and moves. You know, the idea about, you know, when I was a kid kind of stuff that every generation says.
Yeah.
You know, we had to make our own entertainment, like we had to go to the pictures.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed we had to actually put on a play.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's different things, isn't it? But I guess that what we're saying is, in terms of goal setting, is what's important, because that's the goal.
Yeah, and this is in my notes, but I'd like to mention now, it's all important not to live out other people's dreams, isn't it? Like, really important. I think that's Steve Jobs' university thing he did, which is... It's massive on YouTube. I'll put the link up. Just be careful not to live out other people's dreams.
Well, when you talk about that, the thing that rings in my head straight away is that if you look at the process of education in any society, society is about creating the next workforce. So automatically, the education system that we have starts to set goals arbitrarily for the people that are in the system. You know, we need more of whatever. We need more computer programmers or plumbers or scientists or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that the energy goes into doing that. So we're starting to force people into goal setting, as opposed to education being a process about how does someone learn to fulfill themselves and learn about their own creative potential so that they decide.
Yeah,
society's not interested in that. It's interested in producing people that are a bit automaton. They're going to do what we want them to do to create what we want.
Yeah. I think related to that is, again, an article just this last week I've seen about how automation will... Oh, ding, ding, doorbell. No, your laptop, iPad.
isn't that a £5 fine for charity?
Sure, yeah.
Didn't we agree that? I shouldn't have reminded you that, should I?
Automation will kill off, 30% of jobs in the next 10, 20 years in the UK, as in, low-paid... repetitive jobs, which a lot of people rely on, but you know, there's computers and machines coming to take all that away. It's progress, isn't it? So now it's all of a sudden, right, people, you've got to learn about computers, you've got to learn how to program, you've got to be a scientist, the next wave of jobs and all that stuff.
But what happens to those people who were doing the jobs that the machines were doing, who don't have that intellectual, emotional capacity to do other things?
Well, do they not have the intellectual capacity?
I don't know.
They must be. They'll be good at something. Maybe they just haven't had a chance to explore.
If the thing that you're good at, there's a metal man around the corner who's doing it, maybe doing it faster than you can do it, more accurate.
Yeah. Okay.
Difficult.
It is.
So, okay, personal. Yeah. What kind of goals do you have?
I do have a little book, actually. Well, it's the back of my journal, which I'm still going. Still going, 3.5 years on.
Is it
going
to be published?
Well, it depends how much of a success I make in my life, I guess. Whether anyone's going to be interested.
Is publishing your journal one of your goals?
And to be fair, my mum, she's kept a daily diary for about 40 years.
Wow.
She's got a box full of these things.
Wow.
It's quite cool because she goes back and checks from when she was a mum to me, around the same age as like Will and Jake, to see what was going on in her life then. Like, my dad was off working all the time, she was just on her own a lot of the time. So it was a bit of a nightmare. But different to us. The back of my journal, I have a little goal section, and I've split. And to be honest, I don't check it that as much as I used to. I split it on the left is like big goals, and on the right is just little mini ones, like visit Edinburgh, you know, at some point, which I just did a few months ago, which is cool.
So like bucket list goals?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's one of them, I think, is like learn to make French onion soup. That's on the little goals. Which I've been on there for years and I haven't done it. It's like, I could do it tomorrow. Why don't I just go out and buy a load of onions and get it done?
Yeah. Yeah, why don't you?
Because I've got a blooming load of emails, haven't I?
But maybe your goal should be today I don't answer any emails.
Yeah, no, flipping heck. We'll still be there the next day. But yeah, it's a little bucket list. And on the left-hand side, the bigger ones, which were like Mont Blancs on there. Yeah. Which is still there, really, because I haven't got to the summit, but I'm not too bothered about that.
Yeah.
I've seen enough.
Yeah. In some ways, our joke goal for me is getting the attic converted, which is kind of half done. And it isn't there yet. But we'll get there eventually.
Yeah.
Because one of my goals, which overrides everything else, is it's the mad bit of me that has this belief that if we look after each other, then the world's all right. Mm-hmm. That means there's a lot of people that need looking after. And that's very often what gets in the way of me doing things like doing the attic.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of stuff to do in terms of people needing stuff.
I could say that about my email list. You know, they're not just emails about, you know, not like for like mother care and stuff. There are people needing help. You know, and what, can you do this for me? And it's like, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
So, yeah, maybe that should override everything.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think that we have to have personal achievements to make us feel like we have value and worth, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
For me, the idea of working with people and sort of looking after each other is a bigger goal. It's the ultimate goal, because if we all did that, then the world would be all right.
Yeah.
And we live in a world where that doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
So you can only do it by example. People learn by what they observe.
Sure.
Yeah. So if we do it, then maybe people see that and they do it too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to talk about the idea of how not hitting a big goal, maybe not a big goal, any goal, can create negative emotions and a bit of a vicious cycle.
Two things in that for me. The first one is that the concept of failure is one that isn't useful, because if we have learning points, to have not achieved or to have been stalled in our achievement isn't a failure, because if we're awake and we're aware in the present of what we're doing, then we're learning from that experience. So as we come at it again, we don't do the same mistake again.
Yeah.
So I think that the whole concept of failure or not hitting goals is something that we need to question.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The second thing I see loads working with people is that the goal that they set is too far away. They have this massive goal. So they're looking at the top of the mountain and they're focused there, and that's where they want to get, and they jump and they can only get halfway up the mountain or a third of the way up the mountain.
Big jump.
Yeah. Okay. A tenth of the way up the mountain. How big's the mountain? But if you think of it as a chain, that any goal is a chain which is made of a set of links. Mm-hmm. As long as you can get the links, then you get the chain. But the issue then would be it's the steps and the links that take you on the journey up the mountain. So the chain's the mountain, the links are the step. But the trick always has to be, you may have your eyes set on the on where you're going. You may need that, but you have to enjoy the links as you go, else the goal's unimportant.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's it, man. Happiness is a journey and all that.
To arrive at your goal is miserable as sin, because you just had a rotten time or a rotten life. Mm-hmm. Wasn't really worth doing.
No, You've like stepped over and crushed everyone on the way as well. Like.
Yeah, yes. There's going to be debris and destruction behind you as you've achieved your goal.
Yeah, and you turn around and celebrate, and everyone's lying on the floor cursing you.
And everyone hates you. Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah, that's no good, is it?
No. Mm-hmm. No, but for me, goals have to be enjoyable, as there is no point.
Do you help people map out the process of goals?
Forward basing is my thing. I've spoken about that before. I do it with either couples, individuals, or with teams. Where, say, we used your room here on the wall behind us, we put a poster up, which is where we are, because that's quite important when you're goal setting, is actually defining where you are, because that's your starting point. And very often people aren't aware of where they are, but if you can define where you are, and on the other end of the room, on the other wall, we put another poster up, and on there we write where we're going to get.
Cool.
And then in between the two posters, we use other bits of paper to make stepping stones that lead us from one to the other. And those are the links in the chain. And then along the wall, along the side of the room, we can now timeline it if we want to actually set time limits on it, so that we've got things to aim at, so that each link is time limited. So we're going to go for that.
Okay.
Yeah. And if we can do one link of the chain at a time, in the end, we will do the whole chain. But we would do it in chunks that are achievable. And the most important thing is, if we achieve this link, we feel positive, and that gives the energy to achieve the next link. Yeah. If we start trying to do too many links at once and then we fail, that's when the motivation starts to go.
Right.
Yeah.
Sure. I like that. Okay. I mean, the law of attraction stuff as well, and the secret, you've got your ham sandwich thing, haven't you? that all ties in, because it's like, I will have a ham sandwich, and then it... Shut your eyes and wish for it. It doesn't happen, does it? You've got to get off your feet and go and buy that ham sandwich, or buy the material you need.
If you don't do anything, nothing happens. A phenomenal universe that we live in only happens because we do something. When you act, there's an equal and opposite reaction.
Yep.
So stimulus and response. If you don't do anything, nothing happens. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And one of the things my teacher used to say to me was, it doesn't matter whether what you do, if you take a step forward, it doesn't matter if it's in the wrong direction. Because if you hadn't taken the step, you wouldn't have known. But once you've taken the step, even if it's wrong, you think, okay, it's wrong, now you can correct it.
Yeah, even if it means stepping back to where you were.
Yeah, and then moving off in another direction. But if you didn't take the first step, you never would have known. You would still be stuck on the spot.
Yeah.
So to move and do something, stimulus response. If I do something, there's a consequence to what I do. And I have to learn from the consequence.
It's like when you're moving towards a bit of pie in a game of Trivial Pursuit. You don't know which way to go. Should I go left or anti-clockwise or clockwise?
Yeah.
You don't know till you jump and ask that, get that sports question.
Does it have to be a sports question?
I always go for sports. I hate Trivial Pursuit. I'm rubbish at it.
Unless it's a sports question.
At least the version my parents have got, which is, I don't know, probably 20 years old. The questions I just got, I can't get any of it. I've played a more modern version, and I'm getting better. General knowledge ate my bag.
Yeah.
I've got Google for all that. Why do I need to know all this stuff? What are we talking about?
Yeah.
Ham sandwiches, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, the idea that I will have a ham sandwich, and I can sit in a chair and I can say I will have a ham sandwich until I'm blue in the face. I won't get a ham sandwich unless I get off my butt and go and do it.
Yeah.
So I have to have the stuff in the kitchen in the first place. So I had to do something to get the stuff in the kitchen so I can go to the kitchen to get the stuff to make the ham sandwich.
Okay.
Yeah, because everything is about consequences. And I think one of the things that is quite common in society generally at the moment, but I think can be engendered by the secret and the law of attraction stuff, is people having an expectation that something's going to come to them without them doing anything.
Yeah.
And that's not real.
Mm.
You know, if you want to find a partner, it's no good sitting at home waiting for this right person to come and knock on the door. You've got to go out and find them.
Yep.
It's that kind of stuff.
And you've got to look everywhere, man. Yeah, because a lot of people in that situation won't know where to look or where to start, whether it's dating sites or going out into town on a Saturday night, or I don't know, been joining a book group, and they just kind of stay motionless, don't they?
I think that sometimes you have to go out and allow yourself to be led by your intuition.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to have that intent of going out to create the consequence. And it may be that you find your ideal partner in a fishmonger's know, that you were never expecting to go into, but it just happened that way.
Mm.
But if you hadn't been out with the intent, then you wouldn't have ended up in the Fishmongers.
Is that where you met Ree?
In the Fishmongers. And I have to say, I met Ree in a handbag shop.
That sounds about right. Yeah. Good old retail therapy, Ree.
Retail. Very good. Very good.
And what about science will have us, shows us that we are the subtotal of what the 5-6 people that we spend the most time with. I don't think it's science really, but you know. It's
pseudoscience.
Yeah. So people will perhaps who are aiming for loftier goals will go out their way to seek out people and hang around with people that are at that next level, whatever.
Well, they reckon that if you look at your social circle around you, that your incomes will all be within about 10% of each other.
Mm-hmm.
That you move in that kind of, even without realising it. Like this, you'll find that you've got the same kind of coffee machines or the you know, same kind of clothes or whatever. And because there's that similarity. So very often when people are trying to get up the greasy pole, then what they do is they go and spend time with people that are achieving a level that they would want to get to.
Yeah.
On the basis that that starts to rub off on them, so they become that too.
Yeah. Is that why you started hanging around with me?
Yeah, yeah. I wanted to come down in the world. I got you there.
Very good. All right, you win that one. but I mean, you can do it. You don't have to like actually physically know a person these days, do you? Because we've got this wonderful connected world where you can essentially, you can maybe follow someone on Twitter and get an idea of what they're up to, or you can watch a load of videos about a person online and just let them seep into your subconscious. But I mean, for me, the guy that's head and shoulders like above everyone is Elon Musk, who I've mentioned a couple of times. He's there. He sold PayPal, or built PayPal, sold it, made a gazillion dollars, and then now he's got a rocket company, a electric car company, a solar power company, and he's just a mad scientist with a load of money. It's incredible. But, you know, I wouldn't say I'd never achieve what he could do, but he's just on a different level, and it's like.
But the thing is that why would you want to?
Mm. He seems pretty happy.
Well, but I know people that live in the ham sandwich world,
yeah,
and they're happy. You know, I think that's interesting because one of the things that you said earlier on is about not living other people's dreams.
Yeah,
and it's easy to look at people, you know, Richard Branson.
Yeah.
And to think, wow, you know, I want to be Richard Branson. I don't want to be Richard Branson. I want to be me. You know, I want to be a successful version of me. And I don't care whether that's richer or poorer or the same as Richard Branson. It's whether I've got the smile on my face.
Mm-hmm.
That's my goal. And a lot of people, it's like that thing about people when you say, how much do you want? They always say, I want a million. You know, they don't. People don't want a million. What they want enough to do what they want to do, and
yep.
They want enough to feel good, and that may be half a million, a quarter of a million, it may be 2 million, you know, but that's what they want. They want something else other than that sort of lump of stuff.
Yep.
That's what we see in other people. If I was like that, or I had what they had, I would be these things. No, you wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you need to be you. You need to be what makes you happy.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sounds obvious, doesn't it? But.
Yeah, but most people, if you gave them loads and loads of dosh, they would buy the few things that they need, really, and the rest of it either gets wasted or gets put in a bank somewhere and gets locked up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it isn't that stuff. Like, success and goals are about the things that I need and I want, the things that make me happy, the things that make me feel good. Yeah.
Yep.
If I can answer that, then I'm there. I've got a chance of hitting my goal.
Okay. All right. Was that a nice summary, do you think?
I'm pretty cool at doing something. It's one of my goals.
We're so good at winding up these shows, aren't we?
Someone said to me that there's times when we're too woolly, that we should be more scripted.
Really?
Do you think?
Who would dare say such a thing? That would take extra time, actually, like, yeah.
But one of the things that we decided, when we set out on this, that this would be you and I kind of chatting about things.
Yeah. It was quite deliberate, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Thinking back, I wonder what our goals for the show are. Maybe we should talk about that for 30 seconds.
Do you think?
I don't think we really have any.
I think the goal for this, for me, in the short term, is about it being relevant enough and helpful enough to other people.
Yeah.
And I just love it when we get the emails and people will say, you know, that's really good, that made me laugh, I really enjoy this, or, you know, listen to this in the bath, or whatever. Yeah. Or was it Dot who was saying she listened to it when she goes to bed?
She hasn't emailed, so I don't think she got to the end of last week's, because she didn't hear the little night dart.
Do you think she fell asleep?
We're half an hour in, so there's no way she's going to hear this time.
Straight here this time.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean.
Yeah, and that's enough at the moment, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's other things that you and I need to do in our own goal setting. But
yeah, if we stick to that original philosophy of just making something that people like and are happy and we're happy with, then something good will happen.
And that's enough. And I enjoy coming around and seeing you. That's kind of like a goal of mine, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because that goes along with my I want to be happy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You make me happy, Ed.
Yeah. But it's time for you to go, Sean. The missing's on in 10 minutes.
Trying to get rid of me, though.
Have you got a resource of the week?
Yes, I have.
Is it relevant? Mine is actually relevant this week.
It's not. Something's gone wrong. The resource I put up, which I put up on the sheet, is it's a YouTube clip which takes you through a series of apps that you can get that are about goal setting and explains what each app does and how they help you.
Nice. Is Lyft on that little list?
That's a goal setting app. You like Lyft, don't you?
Yeah, I don't use it anymore because the initial little goals and daily things I wanted to do, habits, I've kind of got woven into my life now, like stretching in the morning and drinking more water, all that stuff. So
yeah,
they were just little tiny goals. But Lyft app is awesome. Mm. Yeah, but that sounds cool. I'll have a look at that.
But that's interesting what you're saying there, because what you're saying is that you use the app to set some goals, mini goals that are like the links in the chain, and you've actually achieved them.
Yep.
So it works.
It works. Yeah. Stop press. Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
A good app. Mine is a TED Talk, so what will be 15-20 minute video by a chap called Derek Sivers. It's Silver without the L, Sivers. And he's basically, the synopsis is, after hitting on a brilliant new life plan, our first instinct is to tell someone. But Derek says it's better to keep your goals secret. He presents a lot of research stretching back nearly 100 years to show why people who talk about their ambitions may be less likely to achieve them.
So, that's interesting.
Yeah, it is.
Is that
really
because
cool
of
talk.
The brain issue, thinking that you've achieved something?
Yeah, I won't give it away too much, but it's about your brain kind of, when it hears you say it, thinks you've done it.
But that's the whole sports psychology. Brain can't tell whether you're actually doing it or whether you're imagining it.
Mm. So, should you tell people or not? That's another interesting little angle on it.
I think sometimes it's useful to kick around a goal with other people because it helps you shape it up.
Yeah.
And when you run your ideas past other people, sometimes they add to them.
Sure.
Can be good.
And they can say, oh, I can help with that, or try this, and blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, have you thought of looking at it this way?
Yeah. I'm sure he addresses that in the talk, or he does, in fact, so have a little look. And, let us know what you think.
Sounds good.
I think we're all done, Sean.
Okay, I'm done. I've achieved my goal.
Yeah, we've got through another one without killing each other.
You do it so well.
I haven't actually decided what we're going to talk about next week. We've had a load of ideas, which is fantastic. So I'm just trying to look. And there's one actually at the top of our list, which I've been wanting to talk about for a while, dealing with loss, which I think is quite a serious one, but I think we should broach that subject. What do you reckon?
I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm. Because I haven't had to do that too much in my life, so I'm pretty... that's why I smile so much, I guess. But I've only been to 3 funerals. Maybe.
That's an interesting concept, because you're suggesting that loss makes you miserable, whereas maybe loss makes you grow because it creates happiness. Maybe.
Okay. I'm interested already. I'm intrigued.
My
creative juices are flowing. That's next week. In the meantime, go to the website livingthepresent.co.uk. All show notes and links, resources that you will love. Get in touch at podcast@livingthepresent.co.uk.
It is indeed.
Drop us a line, let us know what you think. Leave us a review on iTunes, see if you can figure out how to. Not as easy as it looks. And have a good week, Sean.
Yeah, I should go and put a review on iTunes, I think.
Have you not done it yet?
No, I think I should.
It's about time.
Yes, dear Ed.
Yeah, you go get yourself some sleep, Sean, and we'll see you all next week.
Yeah, take care. Bye now.
See ya.
Bye.